Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's Thursday, March 28th, as we inch towards April.
Yep, rent's about to be due.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's rent T-minus three days.
That's crazy. I feel like I just paid rent.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like my whole life is just paying bills.
I know. Well, life is paying bills.
Yeah.
It costs money to stay alive, you know?
Yeah, and I chuckle because every time I go to the bathroom in the morning when I get here, there's some lady there that's just always doing her makeup and on the cell phone. I'm like, how do you not, like when you work a 9-to-5, how do you not come to work ready?
Right.
Because you're in there for like 20, 25 minutes.
Right.
Taking your time.
They all come here not ready, you know?
Oh, I'm like, what are you doing? Like every single morning.
Yeah.
She's annoying. I don't know. She annoys me.
Yeah, I know. And all the people that come in the morning and use the bathroom instead of going at home.
Yeah.
So that's a problem we're having here,
yeah,
folks.
The bathroom here is trash.
Bathroom politics, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a great guest in the studio. We'll bring him on in just a moment. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, we are there today. You just have to look up LA Talk Radio on Facebook. And you don't have to like the page if you don't want to, but you can watch us there and hopefully have some fun.
Mm.
How are you doing this morning? You seem more awake today.
Which is crazy because I drank a lot yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, and I went to bed late.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My friend from Boston was here.
There's no correlation, I guess, between what time you go to sleep, whether you're tired or not. The other night you slept a lot.
I actually think I feel better when I don't sleep that much.
Okay.
Yeah, because I only got like, I went to bed at maybe 2:15 last night. I went to a comedy show and every comedian bombed, except for the last two, yeah. Because the headliner was Dane Cook, so everyone thought I expected it to be like this amazing show. Right. I was like, wow, this is the worst comedy show I've ever been to in my life.
Was he at least any good?
He was good.
Yeah?
No one really liked him, but I thought he was funny. I was pissing my pants. I thought Eric Griffin was funnier, but...
Uh-huh.
It was good. Those were the last two acts. They made us sit through a bunch of horrible comedians.
They always?
Mm-hmm. But I had like four drinks just to get through it. I was like, just bring me another tequila.
They experiment on the freaking crowd, you know?
Yeah.
It's on the audience.
But I wonder if they think that they're good.
Probably. Otherwise, they wouldn't go up there.
No, I mean.
But then when they bomb, they probably know they're not.
I don't know. It was really brutal.
Really?
It was like the opener was so terrible. I was like, how are you going to open the show? Because you literally start the night.
Right. That's what happened when I went to a show once. You know, it was all women. And unfortunately, the whole show was like shit. There was nothing funny about it. And it was the same thing. The MC, whatever, the host,
Just bombed,
you know, and then you're like, it's downhill from there.
Yeah. It's like if you can't get the room started, like it's a tough act to follow for sure.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I went to this restaurant, the Hudson. Have you ever been there?
I've heard of it.
I've never tasted, and I like salty food, but their food, like I felt like I was eating salt water.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bad. I was like, can this night just get any worse?
Is it like a seafood restaurant?
No.
No,
we got like mac and cheese and lamb. We got steak. Everything was just salt.
Salty.
Yeah.
I probably would have liked it. I put salt on everything.
I put salt on everything.
Really?
I love salt.
But it was too much.
It was too much.
Wow.
And I never complain about salt. I eat ramen noodles like every day.
And I mean... Is that like all their dishes are like that?
We got like 8 different dishes, and I couldn't even get through anything but the French fries.
Really? Did you tell them?
Yeah. No. I didn't cause a scene
you
last
should
night.
Tell
no,
them.
I didn't. I didn't care. No, like,
not
I'm
cause a scene, but just ask them, is this how your food is generally served?
You well, know, I imagine so.
Tell them, maybe you got to tell the chef.
It's like literally 8 different dishes, all salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, wow.
Tell the chef to take it easy with the salt. What is it?
You know, there's always hidden gems. Have you ever heard of Dantana's?
No.
It's like this hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
People underestimate it. Their kitchen's open till like 1. Best Italian food probably in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But it looks like a shithole when you drive by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's so many restaurants. Why would I go to a shithole?
No, it looks like a shithole.
Oh, it looks like a
but
shithole
But it's not a shithole.
Outside.
Their food's bomb.
Okay.
Then you get the Hudson.
Yeah.
Takes up half of Santa Monica Boulevard, covered in vines, looks fantastic, food trash.
Yeah.
You know?
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable, you know? I mean, I've been to several restaurants over the years where the food sucked. Mm. And you go, doesn't anybody notice? You know, I mean, it's not just the chef. I mean, there's people there. You know, the staff probably eats the food to know what they're selling and all that. Nothing.
You know? I don't think you can, like, I work at a restaurant now, and I don't think if I ate something I didn't like, I could be like, chef, this sucks.
Yeah.
You might be fired.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just like, I'm not ordering that again.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, tell the owner, maybe, not the chef.
Yeah,
know?
No, no thanks. Let me tell the owner, and then next week I got my 2 weeks notice.
I would say something. I mean, if the product sucked, I would say, you know?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But everyone has different tastes. Like, something I might think is, like, super salty, someone might be like, this is the best dish ever.
Right, exactly.
So it depends.
So it's a question of taste, right?
Yeah.
But except you learn that when you cook, you got to do it with less salt, you know, air on the low side, and then you can always add some. But you can't take it out.
See, I don't use normal salt. I use adobo, which is like Spanish salt. Mm-hmm. I like, see, that's the type of salt I like. I don't like sea salt in my food.
Right.
Ugh. Mm. That's probably why I didn't like it last night.
Mm. Okay.
Well, that's my night.
That's your night, right? Mm-hmm. What was my night like? I don't remember. Well, working. That's about it. So my mom's back in the hospital and all that shit. So, yeah, dealing with older parents, not fun. We talked about it. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest right now, who's sitting here patiently, doesn't know what to expect. We're joined by Mr. Brian Volk-Weiss. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining. He seemed like so nice, you know. We're going to have the best time.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Brian? Do you consider yourself a fun person?
I mean, I think so, but who wouldn't think that about themselves?
I don't know. Some people realize they're boring. I think.
Yeah.
No? They get feedback.
By the way, what's that restaurant? Because my wife cannot get enough salt.
Really?
And she would love, what is the name?
Oh my
God,
go. Hudson.
Hudson. Mm-hmm. She will
it's
love
on
it.
Santa Monica Boulevard, I believe.
She will, I mean, she's like, really? For like 5 minutes.
Really salt.
She'll like it. It's literally like all salt.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh.
This might be her favorite restaurant. So
yeah. I felt like sick when I was leaving. I was like, I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
I'll bring food with me so she'll be happy. Because I don't like, I'm like,
yeah. It's too much.
Holy moly. Yeah.
Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's introduce you. You're a producer of funny films, comedy, or all kinds of films.
We, I mean, not to split a lot of hairs here, but we're a production company and a distribution company, and it's all kinds of comedy. Our primary business is stand-up comedy, so I'm very curious to know where you were last night.
Laugh Factory.
Oh, there, that was my guess. Yeah. it's pretty much all comedy.
Yeah.
So movies, TV, and a lot of stand-up.
Mm.
Really cool. And is this your own company, Comedy Dynamics?
Yes.
Very cool. And when did you start it?
I started off as an employee of the company in 2003. And basically, you know, went on to not be an employee about 2 years ago. So
wow. So you put in a long time there.
Yeah. Yes. It feels
like
long.
14 years before. Yeah. So you bought the company? Is that what happened?
Yes. And it wasn't a comedy company when I got there. I used to be a manager and all I represented was comedians. And then basically what happens when you're a manager of comedians once or twice a year, you make a stand-up special for your clients. Mm. And then one day I got a call from an agent and he asked me to make a special for a non-client. And I got very offended and I was like, oh, our management's not good enough for your client. It was actually Michael Ian Black. And I'm like,
we
can't manage Michael Ian Black, but we can produce for him. I was kind of, you can curse. I heard you curse.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's so fucking offensive. No, I can't stop saying it.
Yeah.
But the next morning in the shower, I was like, wait a minute. My job is to make money as long as it's legal. So who cares how I make it?
Did you fuck up that deal?
No, I called the agent back, which interestingly enough is not the kind of agent to normally even hear an apology, but for some reason he did that morning. I apologized and I was like, yeah, we'd love to make a special for someone we don't represent. And that's how it all started. We made his special and then, you know, it was Jim Gaffigan, Aziz Ansari, and we just started doing all Kevin Hart, all these specials.
Right.
And a lot of what happens in the stand-up special business is you sell, you make them, then you sell them, and you own them, And then basically we built a library. I didn't really set out to build a library, but I did.
Right.
And then when you have a library, you can go to all these companies, like, you know, at the time it was like Hulu and Comcast mm-hmm. and Charter and Dish mm-hmm. and whatever. So we built a network and we started giving our library to them, and people were able to see it. We were able to make some money. And then about a year and a half ago, we started doing the same thing, but with movies. So now we're those same systems that we had built to distribute our stand-up, we're now using them to put movies and TV shows out.
Very cool. So that's kind of innovative, right? I mean, people have not distributed like that before.
It's actually not innovative at all.
Really?
Because basically, I've done
because
what,
before there were different channels for distribution, right?
Listen, the easy and egotistical answer would be to be like, yeah, I mean, I am an innovator. Like, I'm fucking I'm Bill Gates here.
Yeah.
But the honest answer is,
you better be honest,
because
we'll research your ass online.
Well, again, first of all, I have nothing to hide on a thousand levels, but I think it's more interesting, the truth, which is I've basically just done in the 21st century what the Warner Brothers, the actual brothers, did 100 years ago.
Oh.
And like, it's the same thing. It's what Ted Turner did 30 years ago. Like, I just did what they did 100 years later, 20 years later, 10 years later. So there's nothing really special about it. The interesting thing is a book came out in 2006. I think it came out in 2006.
Right.
So if you're really Googling this shit, I'm bad with dates.
Yeah.
So let me tell you ahead of time. Everything I say about dates could be really off.
Right.
But a book came out, at the very least, I read it in 2006. Right. And it was called The Long Tail. And the reason I always mention the date is because the book came out a year before Hulu, like 5 or 6 years before Netflix was streaming,
right.
And it predicted everything. It basically said, and this was the thing I took away from the book.
It's funny because I read it and I loved it at the time, but I don't remember shit from it, so I'm glad you brought it up. Let's hear a little bit about
it's, it. It's a very short book,
right.
Thank God. But the thing that the book said that I underlined and I took away from it was it predicted a time of quote-unquote unlimited shelf space. And basically, when I read the book, if you couldn't get into Walmart or you couldn't get into Blockbuster, you're done.
Right.
But the book was saying that shit's over.
Right.
Like, we are heading
and
to
nobody buys shit from Walmart or Blockbuster.
Well, today
Blockbuster's gone.
Right.
Well, today, of course.
Yeah.
But in 2006, I didn't even have Netflix. Like, I had never used Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I was still going to Blockbuster. Like, nobody. So, if there's anything I did where I'm like, woohoo, let me brag,
right.
I bet everything on the book being right. And
really?
The book was right.
Right.
So you took a step since you read the book.
That dude was Notre Dame for the movie company.
Yeah. I mean, if you read the book now and you have like a list next to the book of when all these YouTube started,
right,
everything started,
right,
you would think the guy who wrote the book had like a time machine,
right,
and could see what was coming,
right.
To answer your question, we went from making one or two specials a year to making 10 a year, 20 a year, 30 a year. And I mean, everyone thought I was crazy.
I mean,
our CFO thought I was crazy. All the agents and managers thought I was crazy. Everybody thought I was crazy. But I bet that the book was right, and it was right.
Right.
Right. Very cool. I remember reading
always
about it.
Always takes a crazy person to get shit done, though.
Yeah.
My wife would agree with half of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not all of that. Yeah. Half of that.
You see, what I saw from the book, actually, is when he talked about, like, that not everybody wants to buy a hit.
Mm.
So if you want, like,
yes,
an obscure movie or some forgotten book, you'll find it somewhere on the internet.
Yes.
Right?
That's it.
And that's it. And that's what the long tail means. It's like there's no end to what you can find and where you can find it. You
but
know?
That's
and
true.
And before, it used to be only hits, only big blockbusters made it.
That's 100% right. But that the way you phrased it is
right.
From the point of view of the customer.
Right, right.
If you're us and you're a library, you can make
that's
a lot of
true.
Money every day. By people, you don't have, like our type of company 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago would make 99% of its money from 2% of its titles.
Right.
We make about 80% of our money from like 95% of our titles, even if they're just being watched or listened to once or twice a day. It just all adds up.
Yeah,
so that's the beauty of the book. if you're the...
It's kind of confusing, to be honest with you. Right.
It's yeah. Yeah, and I'm not... It's hard to explain, too.
He just took something simple and duplicated it many times, right?
Exactly.
That's what you did, right?
Right.
Still confusing, but...
Okay, like, for example, if you, well, let me see if I understand. So, if let's say you come out with a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people only see it, like you said, twice a day. That's not a lot, right?
Right.
But if, what if you made 100 movies and everybody watched... two times a day or something. Am I correct?
No,
about
I
that?
Think you're no? saying. I think you're saying that because that movie got distributed or bought, it doesn't matter.
Let me try it this way.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We both don't get it.
But that's okay. That way, nobody's going to compete with
me. Let me try and explain it this way.
Right.
Before I read the book,
right?
When I was greenlighting, for those that can't see this, I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah.
When I was greenlighting specials back in 05 and 06, mm-hmm. before I read the book, I was in a situation where I'm like, I have to be careful what I greenlight, because if Comedy Central or HBO or Showtime, if they don't buy it, I'm going to lose money.
Oh, right, mm-hmm. right, right.
After I read the book, what the book basically said to me was, hey, we are heading towards a time where even if those companies say no, you can get it directly to the people
right.
and monetize it,
right.
and you can make money.
Right.
That's what the book
right.
told me.
Okay.
Right. So I didn't have to, there was basically three companies at the time,
right.
technically four. That's an inside joke. I won't allude to who I'm referencing.
Yeah, we
to.
Don't get it.
No, by design. Okay. But basically, if these four companies said no, I could lose like 100 to a quarter mil a pop.
Wow.
What the book told me was, even if they say no, there's still tremendous value to making that special,
right? Right.
And people will love it.
Right,
so
right, right, right.
Using gotcha. Eric Griffin, right. who you're obviously a fan of,
yeah.
as an example,
yeah.
we shot his last special. It premiered on Showtime. 4 months later, we put it everywhere else. So
right.
if you're going to watch it on Amazon Prime or on...
So it did well.
It did great,
yeah.
But what the book predicted was that we would be able to do that.
Right.
Before the book, it would have only been on Showtime.
Gotcha.
Does that make a
yeah,
little sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah. yeah. It makes right, sense, yeah. yeah.
My
yeah.
wife is texting gotcha. Me, what the fuck like, are you like, talking yeah, about?
Right.
Shut
no,
up.
No one understands.
Please stop talking.
Okay, so let me understand. If you're not going to Hulu and Netflix, how are you distributing it then?
Well,
through what channels?
We do it everywhere. So we're completely agnostic.
But
so,
wait, so if Netflix buys it, you can't sell it to Hulu, right? Because they don't compete with each other.
They do compete with each other.
They'll have the same stuff though?
They won't have the same stuff.
Right.
And now this is going to be hard. I mean, this is not easy to explain.
Right.
There are people we've worked with multiple times who still
right.
don't completely understand this. But basically, we have several different models.
Right.
So sometimes...
Oh, you make the special several different ways?
No. Oh. No. We make it one way.
Right.
Sometimes we'll sell it to a Showtime or a Netflix, and it's only there.
Right.
After
right.
a period of time, their rights to put it on go away. We get the rights back, and then we put it everywhere else. So that's one way of doing it.
Right.
Sometimes, and we just did this with Brian Callen last week. We're doing this with David Cross in a couple of weeks. We did it with Jim Gaffigan about 6 months ago. Sometimes we don't even go out anymore and try and sell it up front. We just take it out and put it through our own network on day one. So like,
what's your own network?
It's called the Comedy Dynamics Network. But here's the beauty. Even if you haven't heard of it, and I'm sure you haven't.
I haven't. Yeah, no.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because wherever you are, we are. Meaning that, and I call this is my own thing, so this might be the stupidest thing you ever heard. So
right.
blame me,
right.
no one else. And I just want to be very clear. I'll say this at least once today. I did not go to business school.
Yeah.
I did not go to business school. So I call this the Coca-Cola model.
Right.
And what I mean by that is Coca-Cola spends a lot of money marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get thirsty, you're like, ugh, I feel like a Coca-Cola. But what Coca-Cola has done, they're not saying to you, hey, you got to go to the bottling plant. You got to go to headquarters. What they do is they put Coke everywhere you are. So if you're in the supermarket or the gas station or the movie theater, Coke is there
yeah.
and you can get it.
Right.
So tonight when you go home, if you want to see, or today when you go home, if you want to see Eric Griffin, you can just, however you watch stuff on your phone or your home on television,
right.
you type in Eric Griffin and you'll see He's on Showtime, but he's also, you can rent it on Amazon. You can buy it on Amazon. You can rent it on iTunes. You can buy it on iTunes. Do you know who Brian Callen is? Mm-hmm. So Brian Callen, great comedian, great person. We did not go anywhere first. So today, if you went home, and if you like Eric Griffin, I think you'd like Brian Callen.
I like anyone that has like jokes that are
good.
Yeah,
funny. He's got a lot of jokes. If they're funny, we like it.
He's got a lot of jokes. But basically, if you went to, or do you like Jim Gaffigan? Do you like
that name? Sounds really familiar, but I'm like? Horrible with names.
Who else do you like? What other comedians do you like?
There's a midget I like. I forget his name.
Brad. I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Brad. I have him as a friend on Facebook. Brad something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
And then there's these two comedians, and I forget their name, but I've seen them like twice live, and I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life, and I cannot for the life of me remember it. It's like an older dude and a younger guy, and they're always on stage together. And they are so fucking funny.
Really?
Like the funniest show. I like literally pissed my pants.
Interesting. I actually don't know what that is. I have to check
it
out.
Yeah, it's like they're like a dynamic duo. They don't seem like they're together.
At the factory?
I saw them in Boston like 17 times. Literally. Wow. Really? Every time they come, I'm like, I'm going.
All right.
But I cannot remember their names.
I'll Google.
Best show ever, though.
Shouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah.
Old guy, young guy.
Yeah.
On stage together.
All right. So we get it. We beat the hell out of the subject. So let's move on.
I did my best.
No, because I'm eager to talk about the movie that you're promoting and stuff.
Yes.
So let's get a little bit about that. And then we'll go into other things about you and all that stuff. But you're presenting a movie now called Slut in a Good Way.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear about
that. Is that supposed to be like Slut in a Good Way or?
That's the title of the movie, Slut in a Good Way.
Oh, it's Slut, literally.
S-L-U-T.
Oh, I thought you said slot.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Sloth?
I thought you said slot. Like a
No, slut.
Slut, okay.
I said it. Maybe you heard it wrong.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so I looked at the trailer. Is it all in black and white,
yes,
the movie?
Yes.
Okay. And it's partly English, partly French?
It is
100%
French. I think there's like a couple, like I think someone says babysitter in English because I guess they don't have that term in French.
Okay.
But except for shit like that, it's all French.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're the producer of the film.
No, I did not produce it. I have a producer credit because when you're a distributor, you get to do that shit.
I see.
But I this is why I can brag about the movie. I had zero to do with making it. Zero.
So someone just came to you?
No. I can brag about that. I saw the program for Tribeca last year, and I went through the program. I saw the title. I produced a show for Netflix called The Toys That Made Us, and we did an episode on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and those guys were like, the only reason we succeeded was because of our title. Everyone was like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So that made me very sensitive to the importance of a title.
Yeah.
So I'm going through the list, and I see Slut in a Good Way, and I'm like, that's genius. Everyone will remember that.
Right.
So we had a team from our distribution arm at Tribeca. They went and saw it, and they were like, guess what? Good news. Great title. Awesome movie.
Right.
So they got me a link. I started watching it at 6:45 in the morning the next day when the movie was over.
It had subtitles, obviously.
Subtitles. Yeah. I don't speak a word of French. I know voulez-vous de beurre, which means do you have any butter? That's the only French. That's the only French I know. It's from a Wonder Years episode.
Probably je t'aime and all
I'm out.
Right?
I'm out.
I have je t'aime tatted on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is that?
It means I love you.
All right. French, yeah.
All right. Yeah. See, I don't even know that.
You don't even know that.
I just know voulez-vous de beurre.
Yeah.
And anytime I say that to French people, they think I mean beer, but I'm trying to say butter. It's a specific episode from The Wonder Years. That's the only reason I know it.
Yeah.
But I like I said, I started watching it on my computer in the office, 6:45 in the morning. When it was over, literally my entire collar was soaking wet because I had been crying. Like from like emotion. It's so powerful.
Really?
It's still funny. Mm. It's still a comedy. So don't get me wrong.
Right.
Like we are not qualified to put out anything like this that's not a comedy. So it is still a comedy. But what it really is, in addition to the laughs, and it truly has some of the funniest scenes I have ever seen in a movie in my life.
Really?
But it also has, it's just this amazing story that is, to me at least, it's about freedom. It's about these three girls, and yes, a lot of it is about sex, and are you a slut or not
a slut?
Why can dudes be cool and girls are sluts? Yes, a lot of it's about that, but what you're really seeing is three girls on the verge of going to college dealing with freedom. Like, they never got a paycheck before. They're having their first job. They've never had it's like
that's
very
late in life.
It's 17?
17.
Yeah, right, my first job was like 14. Dude, yeah, my parents were like, get at McDonald's. Right. I was like, damn.
Fair enough.
That's
actually
unusual.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
my first was at 15. So
yeah.
I'm
like, 17, that's pretty late.
You might not like this movie, Dan.
Yeah. I'd be like, this isn't realistic.
These are not Bostonian women. Yeah, no. But a little different in Montreal.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's
so it's a Canadian film?
It was shot all Montreal.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not France, but...
Not France French. Right. Montreal French.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. So go on. And so now who made the movie?
It was made by, like, I mean, truly one of the greatest directors I'm aware of, Sophia Loren.
Uh-huh.
And it was made by... I mean, she was sort of a... She sort of produced it as well and cobbled together a bunch of... I don't know if they'd like that description, but she put together a bunch of companies and Canadian government money to make the movie.
Mm.
Really?
Yes.
So
I mean, it had to be good if it was in a film festival.
Yeah. It was in a lot of film festivals. Yeah. I mean, Tribeca, I mean, you name it. It's a great movie.
Right.
It comes out tomorrow, only in theaters. It's wonderful. I mean, wonderful. And we
theaters went, everywhere or theaters where?
It's starting in LA, New York, and Austin tomorrow. And then over the next month, it's going to be all over the country.
Oh, that's cool.
So is that like an art house movie?
Yes.
Movie theaters and stuff like Lemley and all
Yes,
that.
It's all Lemley's and Alamo Draft House.
Like independent places,
yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Small I mean, it's
places.
Definitely an indie.
Right,
but
right.
It's exact, like I said, we're very well known for people who know who we are for stand-up comedy. Mm. So we were looking, what's a comedy but is as far away from stand-up as possible.
Right.
It's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It's French, but it's still a comedy.
Yeah. Right.
So it was perfect for what we were trying
to do.
It's
like the French is throwing me off.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to get through movies with subtitles because my attention span is like, so to like be there reading
I swear to you, I'm the same way. I cannot stand subtitles.
I mean, I've watched them before like on Netflix and stuff, but I'll like miss... like a whole conversation because I'm like, wait, go back. Like that was too fast.
What I wanted to do is the marketing campaign, and for a variety of reasons we didn't do, was the gist of it would have been, if you're going to see one independent film this year, it should be Slut in a Good Way.
Right.
If you're going to see one independent film with subtitles this year, it should be Slut in a Good Way.
Right.
So
I mean, I like the title for sure. That's my type of title.
It earns the title.
Right.
The title is explained in the movie, so it's a line from the film.
Yeah,
you see, that's the title she would have for her podcast.
Yeah,
or
my podcast is called Swallow It.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Open wine, take it all in is our tagline.
That's fantastic.
So I do enjoy her title.
Yeah, right.
You would love it.
She would adopt it for. Yeah.
I will buy your movie ticket back from you. If you don't like it, how about that? You can't loot you two.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm definitely gonna look. So, is it at Lemley this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in three screens in L.A.
Okay. Let's hear them.
Rachel. One would think I'd be prepared for that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
have Rachel in the background.
So I know it's at the. Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's in the Los Angeles Lemley Royal. It's in the Pasadena Lemley Playhouse. The Glendale Lemley, and it's in the Draft House in Brooklyn. We have a Lemley in Manhattan. Oh, it's also in San Francisco this weekend.
Mm. Really?
So if you can hear this in San Francisco,
yeah,
go see Slut in a Good Way.
Right.
It's the best movie of all time this weekend.
It's all the Lemleys that are far from me. I mean, what about Encino and North Hollywood here? They don't have that?
Not this weekend.
Okay.
If it does well, maybe next weekend.
Yeah, right, there you go. Right, okay, right. Cool.
Yeah.
So this you must be really excited about.
I could not be more excited.
Is this your first movie?
No, we put out a few films last year, but they did very well.
Right.
Well, one of them didn't. That's for you, Griffin. But the others did very well.
What movies?
One was called Poop Talk, which was a very high end doc about poop.
It was a documentary.
It's all about shit. Yeah,
about
and
defecation.
It's hysterical. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
my
Kumail
God.
Is in it. Where our brother.
And the funny thing is, in the beginning, I was going to talk about the shit that we talk about people shitting here every day.
Yeah, every morning.
And
then
I thought, but we have a guest here. I don't want to, soil the show.
Yeah, you kept
show.
It classy.
Wait. I didn't want to interrupt, but since you brought it back, can I address something?
Sure.
Can I tell you my theory on that woman?
Yeah.
She's doing it because she's like, if I leave my house 20 minutes earlier, maybe it'll take me 20 minutes to do my makeup, but that would have been 40 minutes of driving.
Ah.
That's what I think she's
that
doing.
That was so confusing.
Really?
Yeah. That's not that confusing. Made no sense to me.
If I leave my house before 6:30, right. It takes me 15 to 20 minutes to get into the office.
Okay.
If I leave after 6:30, it can take 45 minutes to an hour and a half to
but
get
no
in.
Office job starts at 10 a.m. That bitch has been at work.
So you think she's doing that? Oh.
And it's every single day around the same time. I'm like, lady.
Yeah.
All your coworkers just saw you with no makeup on for the past hour and a half.
But let me ask you this, and I'm always curious about this. How do you know she doesn't listen to this show?
I don't care if she does.
And then, you know, you're in the elevator and she's like, you know.
And I'd be like, what's up?
It's very unlikely that she's listening, but sometimes we talk about people we know.
Yeah, literally.
And we know they're listening and we still bust their balls.
Yeah.
I like this show.
Maybe she can explain herself. In the elevator. I'm like, okay, I get it, girl.
Let's go find her. Let's go find her right now.
I don't know which office she works at.
Let's hunt her down. That'd be a very special episode.
Yeah.
So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Brian Volk-Weiss, producer and founder of Comedy Dynamics. And let's see. So how did you get into comedy? I mean, what made you decide to get into it in the first place?
I've always liked comedy. You know, comedy's great. I was I know we're not supposed to talk about him anymore, I guess, but I was a huge Bill Cosby fan. I was a huge Jerky Boys fan. And, I mean, long story short, I moved out here. I was a PA on every kind of independent movie you could think of. And then I was out of money. I had literally spent all my money, and I knew a guy.
Stressful.
It was not an enjoyable period. I've had way stressful, much more stress since, but it was not fun at the time. It's funny, you said you work at a restaurant. I literally had turned in resumes, and I had worked in a restaurant all through college.
That's like what I'm doing right now, because I think I'm going to be the next Halle Berry at some point. But until the meantime, I'll be sitting people down at their table for their expensive-ass dinners.
It's funny. Clint Eastwood owns two homes that he had dug the holes for the pools when he was starting out.
Oh, that's crazy, huh?
Like, and I always think about that. And I thought about that a lot back in 99 when I was out of money.
He is aging. He's like 90, still going, still producing. And, dude.
And very good movies
still. Yeah, and I feel like I met his son at the nightclub. He's actually his fucking twin. They look exactly alike. Scott? Yeah. Crazy.
Staggering human DNA.
Yeah, it's like whoa, you are literally your father.
Like designed by a computer.
Yeah.
DNA.
How did that happen?
Yeah. But anyways, so I was out of money. I knew a guy who worked for a manager. And all he represented basically was comedians. All I knew was my buddy was quitting, he was getting paid cash, and I was out of money. So it was literally that random. I took the job because I needed cash, and I couldn't even wait 2 weeks for a check. So he like paid weekly
in
cash.
Right.
And I took the job. I didn't even know what a manager was. All he represented was comedians. So I started working on a Monday. That Saturday, I went to the Laugh Factory, literally 20 years ago, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was March 15th. It would have been March 21st, 1999.
Right.
And I went, and I was supposed to go to one show. I'd been to one comedy club prior for like a birthday party.
Right.
So I really hadn't been to a comedy club before. And I was supposed to watch one show. I stayed for three shows. And my favorite comedians that I saw last night, my new boss represented all of them. And that was it.
So it was a natural thing for you to actually go into it. You know, I mean, you were like...
I feel like that's a right place, right time type of miracle that happened, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was, and comedy had a huge boom in the late mid-80s to early 90s, and then comedy fell off a cliff, and comedy clubs were getting shut down.
Really?
And
why did that happen, do you think?
I think even now, sometimes, too, like...
Oh, it has never been like this now. It is blowing up. It is
really?
And more. Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I love comedy. Comedy is, like, one of my favorite things to do. If I have to choose what to do on, like, a Friday night, I'd prefer to go to a comedy show. Like, this.
If it's funny, of course, you know?
But even if it's not, I'm still like, wow, that was... I like to talk about how bad that was. Like, I saw Tom Arnold live.
Really?
Oh, my fucking God, dude.
Yeah.
I was like... People were booing him. booing him off the stage.
Really?
But I felt like he was like on like maybe like cocaine or something, and like he kept talking about like his ex-wife, and I was like, he's dwindling, obviously. I don't even think this is a stand-up he practiced. I think he just got on stage and started talking about his problems.
Right.
I'm not gonna comment on that because it's really sad. Him well, and I produced two of his specials. But
I loved him back in the day.
I will say this. I think he's got one of the funniest book titles in the history of books.
What's it called?
It's called How I Lost 5 Pounds in 6 Years. So I'll give him that.
I have a funnier title. Steve Tyler's book. You know what it was called?
No.
Does the Noise in My Head Bother You?
That's good.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
But at any rate, Brian, let's talk a little bit about you.
I've been talking about nothing but myself.
No, but a little background. Okay. So you moved here 20 years ago from where?
New York. Well, I grew up in New York. I went to school in Iowa. So technically, I went from Iowa to L.A.
Wow. How many people go to school in Iowa?
Very few.
Right.
Well, very few New Yorkers.
Yeah.
I knew that I was going to be in this business since I was 3 years old.
Really?
And I was going to go to NYU, and at the last minute decided not to because I'd spent so much time there, and I needed something different. I am, how many people can brag about this? I am the first person in my family in at least 2 generations, maybe 3, to only have a bachelor's degree. So if it wasn't for my super educated parents, I don't even think I would have gone to college. So I just psychologically had to go to college, but I knew it would have no bearing on my career.
Very interesting stuff, you know, because you did it anyway, and I'm sure you don't regret it, right?
The experience, I regret it.
Really?
Whenever I meet people who say they didn't go to college, to me, I'm like, you are brave.
Yeah.
You are courageous. Good for you.
And they're doing well.
But
of course they fucking need it anyway.
I think you miss out on a lot of knowledge that helps you for the rest of your life.
I don't remember anything I learned in college.
Well, because you're not there to learn, to study.
I was like a straight A student. Yeah, I was there to learn. I don't remember anything.
But you didn't want to be there, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to be in high school either.
Did you go to Boston?
Well, nobody does.
UMass Amherst?
UMass. Beautiful campus.
Yeah. But it's like in the winter, you have to walk all the way to like the other side, and you're like, this is bullshit.
They probably have scooters and stuff.
No, you had to trek it out.
I know it's not a competition, but Iowa... We got you beat.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
No.
Negative 20.
Yeah,
4 months a year.
Yeah. No.
So basically, New York was off the table because I wanted to leave home.
Uh-huh.
LA was off the table because I knew I'd be here my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I knew college was irrelevant. Iowa was, I probably should stop saying this, but it was my safety, to put it mildly. I got in at night. Went to bed. It was me and my dad. We woke up in the morning, and this is actually a funny story. It was like reincarnation. I was like, oh my God, I've been here before.
Really?
Like, I was so at peace. I was so in love with the campus. I'm like, this is a school. Oh my God. So about after the tour and everything, my dad and I are at the bookstore, and I'm buying hats and jackets and stickers, all Hawkeye shit. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, right. I never get, my dad looks at me, and he's like, you know, he's about to spend fucking $300 on Iowa shit. And we didn't have a lot of money, to put it mildly. And he looks at me and he's like, are you going here? I'm like, yeah, I'm going here. So for a year and a half, I was telling everybody, it was kind of like divine intervention. Like, it's like it spoke to me.
Right.
I had a year and a half in, I'm in some meeting or something. Not a meeting. Jeez, I'm in a lot of meetings now. I was in no meetings back then. I was in a class. I think that's what meetings are called in school. I was in a class.
Yep, sure are.
And I'm in a class. And I found out that one of my mom's favorite shows growing up that we watched every week and we like never missed an episode was Coach. You ever see Coach?
Nope.
I remember it, but I never watched it.
Huge sitcom, I think, on Fox.
Right.
Yeah, it was about a coach. Anyway.
Well, that's like self-explanatory.
the exteriors, it was a sitcom. The exteriors of the show before they cut to the set were filmed at the University of Iowa.
Really?
But no one knew that.
Nobody knew.
No one knew that. Yeah. So when I woke up in the morning and I'm like, oh my God, I love being here. I feel like I've been here before.
It's because you watched it before.
I've been watching it for 8 years or whatever, every day or every week. Right. So that played a part in it. The other thing, in case anybody I know is listening, full disclosure, I'm going to really lose you, I think, in a minute.
Yeah, probably.
or at least one of you. We've got
10 minutes.
This is 8 seconds. Okay. I'm a huge Trekkie, and about 200 years
What's
from now.
What's a Trekkie?
Now, that's someone who loves Star Trek.
Oh.
That's not Star Wars. Star Wars is the one with Darth Vader. Star Trek is the one with Kirk. About 200 years from now.
That's the one they remade in Dark Matter, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. Red Matter. But good.
They've remade a million of them.
No, yeah. I thought it was called Black Matter. Wasn't that what the show was called?
Which one?
Are you thinking about Black Mirror?
I don't know. No. What's the show on Netflix?
Oh,
Black Mirror. Is that not Star Trek.
No, that's
a different show. Very different show.
Okay.
It's a science fiction with spaceships.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that episode was about, and that episode freaked me out.
Oh, there was just one episode
you
talked about.
That was inspired by Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Still not Star Trek.
Yeah, no, I know it's not, but it was inspired by Star Trek.
Yes, very inspired. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Legally dubiously inspired.
That episode really tripped me out.
And me as well.
Whole show, honestly.
I need to see that episode.
It's fantastic.
It's the very first episode.
Yeah.
What did you say?
It's the very first episode of Black Mirror.
Of season four, but yes. Yeah.
Season four.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I started at season four then.
Yeah. But anyway, 200 years from now, Captain Kirk will be born in Iowa. So that did play a part as to why I actually went there for that. I told you. I predicted this.
Yeah. But
I don't get it.
Okay, that's what he said. You wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I did
but
predict
it. But you mean like you think that someone else is going to like rewrite it in 200 years?
No. So the fictitious character of Captain Kirk in the books and movies, he 200 years from now, because Star Trek takes place in the future, he will be born in Iowa.
Okay, get you.
So I had never been to Iowa. And when I was doing all my college touring...
But why is he going to be born in Iowa? How do you know that?
It's part of the story, maybe?
Yeah, it's his character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I know it's fiction. Yeah. I do know that.
But it is fiction. It's like written that he's going to be born
in
Iowa.
Yes, oh, okay. There's a great line in the fourth movie where he goes back in time and someone's like, let me guess, you're from outer space. And he goes, no, I'm from Iowa. I only work in outer space.
Oh,
so
well.
I just happened to be reminded of that that whole thing. Yeah. So when I was doing the college tour with my dad, he was like, he's like, we're not going to Iowa, are we? I'm like, yeah, maybe we'll check out Iowa. So that did play a part because I don't want any of my friends listening being like, why didn't you bring up Kirk, you coward? So
there you go. Now, before we go, because we only have a few minutes left, Brian, let's summarize the movie. Tell us a little bit, but we didn't really say what it's about.
Yeah, you did. Sorry, that was intense.
The movie is
remind me.
It's about freedom.
Three girls that are about to like get their first job, be free from their parents, probably their sexuality because they probably haven't experienced that before. Like, can you just
I was fucking sharing the video. I'm so sorry. The most important part I fucking missed.
The movie's really about is, and it's I hate describing this aspect of it because it makes it sound so simplistic. And there's parts of this that other movies have covered. But basically, the gist of it is. Told from the point of view of these like 17 and 18 year olds, like why is it like dudes fucking everybody is cool and girls fucking everybody they're sluts? So it looks at that, and I wouldn't say it turns it on its head, but and you know, the other thing I just want to also be very clear about, this is not a dude bashing movie. Like, dudes will, I don't mean to shock you, and I'm glad you're both sitting down. I am a dude, and I probably would have not bought a movie that was dude smashing. So it is not about smashing dudes. It's basically the dudes with the girls are going through the journey together, realizing, and this was always a theory of mine as well, where I'm like, and I even in college was like, well, how come if dudes are trying to sleep with everybody, obviously that would not work if there were a lot of girls not sleeping with the dudes.
Right.
So we all got to be doing it for this to work.
Exactly.
So what the movie I think really does that I think is very relevant 2019 and beyond is it really works at smashing that theory that, you know, a father is like, you go bang every girl you can find. And that, you know, the same father says to his daughter, don't sleep with anybody till you're married.
Right.
Like, it's that. And, you know, I'll tell you an interesting thing as it relates to the Facebook of it all, just to show you how relevant this is in today, like this minute, we can't do ads for the movie because Facebook won't let you use the word slut.
Yeah, and I upload visuals onto my YouTube of my podcast because we film it every week, and I can't monetize any of the videos.
Really?
Because of what we're like talking about. Yeah. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Dude, I mean, again, well, I get it.
It'll get like 50,000 views.
Yeah.
And it's great for your channel, but I get $0
exactly.
off
they
of
wanna
it.
They want to shut you up, you know? And anyway, listen, the movie seems very sexy.
It's very sexy. It's very fun. Again, it's like, if you see one non-studio movie this year, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people who don't, and fair right, enough, right. then that's fine. Go with God. But if you're the kind of person who once a year or so sees one independent movie, this should be it. And I don't care if you don't like black and white movies. I don't like them either. I don't care if you don't like subtitles. I don't like them either. Mm-hmm. This movie, it's so good. It's directed so good. It's acted so well. It's so fucking funny that, yes, you should buy a ticket.
And it's visually very, very pleasing. I mean, like it's, I said, sex scenes and stuff like that, right? Just from the trailer that I saw.
It's very, and again, I can brag about it because I had zero to do with making it. It right. is so well directed. It is so powerful.
Let's give credit to the director again.
Sophie Lorraine. Sophie one of the greatest Lorraine. Directors. Hopefully, she'll be doing a Marvel movie one day.
Yeah.
If she wants to. Maybe she doesn't.
Oh my God, by the way, Captain America said that he's done after this film, which means he dies off.
Really?
And he said, I owe it to my fans to give them the heads up. I'm yeah. like, holy shit, man.
He just gave it away.
You're like the head of the Avengers.
Was he your favorite?
That's a tough one. I liked his dynamic with his friend, the one that has the one missing arm. Like
who
the
is
role.
My least favorite character yeah. in all of the movies.
Yeah, but I liked their dynamic together.
Yeah, good dynamic.
Good dynamic together. I wouldn't pick that guy out of the lineup. He's really fucking hot.
Well, I don't know why he's in hot. The movie. I mean, he's hot, so maybe that's why he's yeah, in. But yeah. I'm like, everyone has powers. You got a metal arm. Why are you...
Yeah, he doesn't really have powers.
You'd be the first to die if there was a battle.
Yeah, he's probably going to die in this one. I really enjoy Thor's comedy, but supposedly he's dying too.
Oh, man.
Robert Downey Jr. is about to get the boot. I'm like, yo, everyone's dead? Like, are we just never going to have another Marvels?
Yeah. Highly unlikely. Again? Highly unlikely. I think there will be more.
I think so,
you
too.
You think
but
it's
like,
going to go on forever?
Yes.
It makes so really? Much money, yes. I just don't see. And everyone, like, even someone random like me, I'm like a diehard fan.
Right.
So it's like, how are you going to... But he just announced, I saw it on Twitter this morning, I was like, this is fucked up.
But you know, but the thing is, if the actor leaves, it doesn't mean the character has to die off.
No. Yes. They're not going to replace him another with another Captain America.
They probably will.
Yeah. I mean, look how many.
That's never going to be the same.
Look how many Batman existed and, you know,
Spider-Man. There's been years. There's been three Spider-Man.
Yeah. Peter Parker in the original. See ya. Hated those Spider-Man.
Yeah, me too.
Worst fucking ever. And I don't know if it's because I just don't enjoy him as an actor. But I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
The new one, though.
We do have that.
Wait, Tobey Maguire? That's the one you didn't like?
Yeah.
I didn't like him. I like Tom Holland. Tom Holland's killing it.
He's the only one I've liked
great
so far.
Comedy,
yeah.
too.
He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the first one maybe just because I really liked the Spider-Man movie. I wanted one, you know, so they had it.
I wish I had a special power. I don't know what I would want it to be, but I wish I did.
Yeah, don't we all?
I'd want lasers.
Have you ever seen that movie called Jumping or something? It's called Jump. Jump, something like that. It was a really terrible movie, but the guy like got into some type of freak accident and he could jump and be invisible from place to place. So he's like going around robbing banks.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not called Jump. It's like Jump.
Yeah.
Actually, I like that movie. Wait. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Looper. Not Looper. Looper's great.
I don't know if I've seen one.
I know what you mean. Yeah. It's the guy who plays Anakin Skywalker that plays the
guy
who jumps.
And he has like a hot girl in it. It's like his best friend. She didn't really pay attention to him until after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been a great movie.
Yeah.
Didn't pull it off.
It had potential. Yeah.
Well, guys, we got to wrap up. Brian, tell us where people can, again, where people can see the movie. There is definitely a trailer on YouTube that I just watched, and I also got a special link to see it, which means I'm going to see it.
Please tell me what you think.
Of course.
I'll buy your ticket back if you don't like it.
You sat here for a whole hour. You think I wouldn't want to watch it?
You got a lot of people coming in saying a lot of things.
No, that's true. But then you can become curious, you know. And
it's wonderful.
So this is a full feature film?
Full feature.
Okay.
Legally classified feature film. No, it's about an hour and a half. A little less than an hour and a half.
I don't like too long.
No. It's nice and tight.
Yeah,
new Avengers movie over 3 hours.
Yeah,
so
it
you
should
might
be
not
because
like
everyone
that.
Is fucking dying off. We need some epic deaths. I know I'm going to be like, I can't bring tissues.
Right. I've been trying to watch these super.
You were so far behind, you would never even know what was going
no,
on.
No, but I could start from the beginning.
There's only 21 of them.
I know. But the thing is, look, I used to be a huge comic book fan, but when I was a kid, they didn't have all this, like, ultra science fiction in something like the Avengers, you know? It would be more like down-to-earth shit, you know? More like Lex Luthor on Superman and stuff, you know? It's not like these monsters and creatures from somewhere else. So now it's hard for me to connect to this, but that's a new generation.
Yeah, but that's the point of the movies. It's because it's
right.
It's supposed to be realistic, but realistically, it's completely unrealistic.
Right, right. No,
that's
the
fun of it all.
But I don't connect with it. What can I say?
I didn't really like the doctor guy, by the way.
We got to wrap up, folks.
They've made worse.
Brian Volkweis, Comedy Dynamics. How can people find you? The company want to find out more. Contact you.
I mean, a cliched answer. We got a Facebook page with over a million followers. And for me, I'd say Instagram.
That's a lot of followers.
I think so.
From how many years did you build that?
We're a nationwide organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've built it for how many years now, that kind of a following? 10 years?
The Facebook page?
Yeah.
Probably about 5 or 6 years.
Wow, yeah,
that's
very
pretty
cool.
Decent over 5 years. Yeah.
So you're very proud of yourself.
If you love stand-up, you've seen tons of our stuff.
Probably,
you just don't know our name. Follow us on Facebook.
Brian, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, you're welcome back anytime. And next
I'll be back
time
tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And talk about the movies that you made also, you know, which is very interesting.
I've made some horrible movies.
That's okay.
So that's why I can brag that this one's good. I've made some really bad movies.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. And what's today? Thursday?
Oh, yeah. And just everybody, episode 8 of my podcast is out today.
Where can they find it?
Apple, Google Play, Spotify.
And it's
Swallow It. Episode 8.
It's easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.